mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the community coming together for a special weekend-long celebration to remember and pay tribute to the life and legacy of one of its own. Also this morning, another honor for Findlay Mayor Christina Mern being named to the steering committee for the Community Leaders of America. And this week, she's also off to the Yale Mayor's College and CEO Summit. When does she find time to run the city? And has your New Year's wellness plan reached a plateau? We have strategies to get over that hump and reach your ultimate goal. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, March 10, 2025. You know what is coming up this week? We've got another eclipse. Remember, it was almost exactly a year ago that we were awestruck by the solar eclipse. This will be a little bit less exciting than that, but still pretty cool. Sky watchers in for a treat this week as a blood moon will phase into a total lunar eclipse. The lunar event will start the evening of March 13th, which is, what, Thursday? Is it? I don't even know. I should have probably looked that up. Yeah, Thursday. Should have looked that up earlier. I apologize. Thursday evening continue through the early hours of Friday morning, March 14th. Astronomers say the amount of dust and cloud cover will determine how red the eclipse will appear. And this is not something that will require any special equipment to see. And certainly you won't have to have like the solar eclipse glasses like we had to have a year ago. Watching the moon is not going to blind you. So, but a telescope or binoculars will give you a better view. And also, you want to stay away from city lights. So get out someplace into the country where there's not a lot of light pollution, and you should be good to go for the lunar eclipse Thursday into Friday. Let's see. What else is going on here? Speaking of amazing science, this is crazy. You talk about amazing science. I saw this story on the Newswire. Researchers from the Chalmers University of Technology have no idea where this is. But these researchers have created a fabric, they say, that can generate electricity from your body heat. Now, when I first read that, I thought, does that mean they've created clothes that will electrocute you? No. What it means is that you could one day, say, own a hoodie that charges your phone. The material is a coated silk yarn that is an electricity conductor. It's made without metals, though, so it can be washed and it can be stretched without breaking. Professor Christian Mueller from the Chalmers University of Technology says there are fantastic opportunities in thermoelectric textiles, and this research can be of great benefit to society. So you could use your body heat or conduct through your clothing to do things like charge your phone or maybe power up your laptop, something like that. Wow, that is pretty impressive. No word on when this will be ready for prime time. How soon we might see it actually on the market. But it is possible. I seem to recall some years ago talking about research being done on this. Well, apparently they have figured it out. So, kind of crazy. But maybe that is too newfangled for you. Maybe that is just too technologically advanced for you to process. How about this? For those who are fans of old-fashioned written correspondence, something is rotten in the state of Denmark. According to news reports, this one was in the Guardian, Guardian newspaper, the Danish Postal Service, PostNord, has announced that this will be the final year they will deliver letters. They're not going to deliver letters anymore, the Danish Postal Service. They point to a 90% decrease in the number of letters mailed in the past quarter century, since the year 2000. They will still, however, deliver packages. PostNord in Denmark, in a statement, says, with increasing digitalization, the number of letters in Denmark is rapidly decreasing, and therefore, we will stop delivering letters in 2026 to focus on being the Danes' preferred package supplier. So no more letters, but I would imagine, I guess, if you really wanted to send a letter, if you were bound and determined to send a letter, you just put it into a package and deliver it that way. I mean, they can't really stop you from doing that, right? But no, they're going to continue to deliver packages, but no more letters. So basically, if you have a pen pal in Denmark, you better ask for their email address, because they aren't going to be able to write to you. You can't write to them. They're not going to deliver letters anymore. What will they do if somebody tries to mail a letter? Drops it in the postal box or leaves it in their mailbox? Will they just throw it away? Will they reject it? Will they send it back to the return to sender? Can't deliver a letter? I don't know how this will work, but crazy. It's the way we are going, I guess. This is something interesting for a Monday morning. Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Something to think about as you're getting up ready to start another work week. Attractive people could earn $20,000 more annually than their more average looking peers. This is according to a survey of more than 1,000 Americans. 81.3% believe that pretty privilege exists at work. It's a thing, pretty privilege. And it's not just for the rank and file. CEOs are twice as likely to rate themselves as extremely attractive. I guess if you're the CEO, you can do whatever, you rank yourself however you want. CEOs twice as likely to rate themselves as extremely attractive. 78.9% of participants in the survey feel pressured to spend money on how they look in order to keep up in the workplace. But at least the way I read this study or this survey, it appears that it's worth it. You may feel pressure to spend money to improve your looks in the workplace, but it's worth it. It pays off for you to the tune of $20,000 a year, an extra $20,000 a year. It is unclear if attractive people succeed because of their looks or if successful people simply spend more on their appearance, becoming more attractive in the process. So, I don't know, but why take any chances? So, just something to think about as you're getting up, getting ready for work, and maybe you don't feel like going through the entire rigmarole of dulling yourself up. Male or female, by the way, this is not a sexist thing. It's not a gender-based thing. It holds true for both males and females. So, make of that what you will. It's worth spending a little extra time, apparently, making yourself look better. And lastly, here among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Spring break, right around the corner. More than 170 million Americans are expected to fly for a spring break trip over the next few weeks. And although prices are up 4% for airlines, there are still ways to save on last-minute bookings. If you have not made your plans and you find yourself in desperate need of getting away from it all, if you know how to strategize, you can still save money. Travel expert Katie Nostro says targeting a Tuesday or Wednesday departure versus traveling from Monday through Monday to Sunday, which is the traditional time for any vacation, right? You leave on a Monday, you come back on a Sunday. If you target a Tuesday or Wednesday departure and a Saturday return trip, that can help you get 20% savings on airfare alone right off the bat, because fewer people fly on those days. Plus, having a Sunday at home, if you fly back on Saturday, you have a Sunday at home, that gives you what she says a re-entry point to get back into the work routine or the regular routine after your trip. Another opportunity for savings, she says, choosing the best departure and arrival airport. So flexibility is the key here. I mean, a lot of people will immediately go to their preferred airport. I think for most people, at least usually when I fly out of Detroit. But you'll want to check Columbus just to be sure that there aren't any better deals there. Or maybe even Cleveland. By driving a little extra, you can save a lot of extra money. And she also said that flexibility of where you're flying to can be a great way to score a deal in terms of destinations. Miami and Cancun are not the only great spring break destinations out there. So some of the ways that you can save a little money on your last-minute spring break getaway. You're welcome, America. There you go, some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started here.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather. Plenty of sunshine expected today with a high around 60, mostly clear tonight, a low in the 40s. After months of speculation, its official Target is coming to Findlay.
We are thrilled that we finally have the approval to announce that it is in fact Target that is coming to the Findlay Mall. And we look forward to the continued partnership with Rocky Companies as they continue to revitalize the mall location.
Chris Keller, Executive Director of Findlay-Hancock County Economic Development, says securing Target for Findlay had been one of their goals for quite some time now. She says the store will elevate our retail landscape while driving economic growth and opportunity for the community. Get more on Target coming to Findlay in this story on our website. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is calling on the federal government to do more to combat bird flu.
Ohio has been hit especially hard by bird flu this year. And according to data from the USDA, Ohio is currently leading the nation in birds affected. Governor DeWine announced 15.5 million birds in Ohio alone have been killed.
We have other, obviously, bigger ramifications in regard to bird flu. So federal government is going to have to become much more active in regard to the research.
Those ramifications include the increasing price of eggs.
ONN's Yolanda Harris reporting. Findlay High School will be operating on a remote learning day on Tuesday as juniors will be taking the state-sponsored ACT at the high school. Students in grade 11 taking the ACT should arrive at school by 7:45 a.m. and report to their testing locations by 8. Students in grades 9, 10, and 12 will participate in remote learning. Students in grade 11 that opted out of the ACT are expected to participate in a remote learning day. Hancock Public Health is launching a postpartum support class called The Nest. The health department says the free program will be a welcoming space for new parents to connect and offer guidance on, among other things, safe sleep, car seat safety checks, and lactation support. Get more in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
We're going to jump right into our cover story this morning because I think this is such a cool thing. The entire community coming together for a celebration to remember and pay tribute to the life and legacy of one of our own. It is a weekend to honor Gavin Creel. And joining us in the studio this morning, Findlay High School Theater Director Andy Cantrell and MCPA Education Director Craig Van Rentergem. Thank you both for taking the time this morning. This is such a cool thing, I think. And it all really starts with the Findlay High School musical this weekend. Andy, I'll start with you. Hello, Dolly is the production, and that's not a coincidence.
It's not. It's not. As we kind of began planning our season this year, we knew the diagnosis had come for Gavin, and mm-hmm. so we wanted to try to find a way to pay some tribute to him and what he had meant to FHS Theater over the years and the things that he's done for us. And so the show was the right show.
It was the cast
that we had. So
I'm wondering, what was the reaction from the students? Because, you know, for younger generations today, this is a classic musical. But for younger generations, sometimes classic means boring. And but this there's obviously some significance here.
Yeah, there is. And they were really excited. They're all familiar with the show pretty much because sure. of Gavin's involvement and when he was doing the show. And we knew this year going into it, we had done a couple more modern shows the past couple years. So we wanted to get back to doing kind of a classic. Yeah. So all the pieces just fell into place. Yeah. They've been really energetic about this.
Well, that was the other thing. I'm wondering, is there something of a like an added intensity? I mean, obviously they want to put on the best show possible, but knowing the significance that there's like this extra added, we really want to get this right.
There is. I think that they feel a little bit of added pressure and added excitement with the events that are going on this weekend.
Yeah.
Last night at rehearsal, we were blocking our curtain call, and we have a special little moment that pays tribute to Gavin. And, awesome. And when we walked the kids through that last night, there's just this gasp across the cast that they were just kind of overtaken with emotion there for a little bit. But I think it's going to be exciting, and I think...
So Hello Dolly is one component of this, and then the youth theater production of The Wizard of Oz ties in. And Craig, I don't know that there's a Wizard of Oz connection directly to Gavin, but...
Correct, there's not, but there's an MCPA youth theater connection with Gavin. When we realized that our shows fell on the same weekend, I'm not sure if this has happened in the past, but it kind of worked together. So when Gavin was younger, he was involved in our youth theater program.
I was going to ask, because I didn't know how long the youth theater had been around.
Yeah, youth theater's been around for quite a very long time, 25 plus years.
Wow, so terrific.
So he was involved in our youth theater program, and he also... came to MCPA and performed. So it was a special homecoming concert for us. So it just made sense that, you know, we could share the weekend and tie in with honoring Gavin.
How cool is that to know that there is that connection? And I guess for kids, it's just something you can drive home that you can dream big, you know, whether it's, you know, in theater or whatever is your passion.
Very much so. Yeah, we... At least with our youth theater program, we always strive that with even with our youngest kids. This is our third, fourth, and fifth grade students. But just even some of these students know that they want to do this when they grow up. So just sharing the importance of what it takes to learn the craft and to grow in the craft. And Gavin's a great example of that.
And even if you don't, it's kind of like we tell young athletes, you know, there's chances of you going pro are really small, but that doesn't mean that dream isn't there, and you know, a possibility of taking this to the next step, whatever that next step may be.
The other thing that was at the heart of what Gavin did was finding a place for all kids, so theater is a place that lots of kids find a home that wouldn't necessarily have another outlet that they could explore. So that's really, I think, important to what both of us do is supplying that place for kids to find their place.
So it starts with the two productions, and then it kind of grows and morphs from there into an entire weekend. And how cool is that to see all of that come together? Because there's a special celebration on Sunday evening then at Findlay High School?
Yeah, Sunday after the high school performance at 5:30, there's going to be a memorial to honor Gavin and to help kick off the Gavin Creel Memorial Fund that's going to help with some of the performing arts spaces across the district. So that's all going to happen after the show. So
talk a little bit about the Memorial Fund because this is – kind of the benefactor of a lot of local businesses getting on board to, you know, also make this happen. And that's really cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of businesses. I think that weekend are going to donate part of their proceeds for their sales that weekend, to help get this fund established. And they're really going to kind of kick that off this weekend and explain, the purpose of that fund and how that's going to be used to honor Gavin.
There are a number of restaurants and other businesses that have hopped on board, and how cool is that to see so many entities within the community come together for all of this?
That's great. I just think, like I mentioned before, Gavin is community. Gavin wanted that community and wanted that support always with whatever thing he did. So it was just so nice to see our community, his hometown, come together to honor him in such a special way.
So give us all of the details. First of all, on the Findlay High School Musical, it is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2 o'clock. Tickets are available at theater.fcs.org. And tickets are for the evening performances, $15 for adults, $10 for students. The matinee performance are $10 for adults, $5 for students. And the Sunday performance, we also offer any senior citizens that live within the Findlay City Schools District a free ticket to that performance.
Terrific. And then for the youth theater production of The Wizard of Oz, that is Friday and Saturday.
Correct. Friday night at 7 o'clock and Saturday at 2 o'clock. Tickets are available at mcpa.org, $16 for adults and $13 for seniors and children.
And so it is obviously the cool thing to see both of those performances. And then, of course, the Celebration of Life at the high school auditorium is Sunday evening. And tickets for that are actually free.
They're available at the high school website. Make sure that link is thrown up on our theater website. Mm-hmm. But there's also a link to a website out there. You might have it.
Yeah.
That has information about all the events that are going on.
This weekend. Including the Memorial Fund and how to donate to that, along with a list of all of the participating businesses. And there are quite a few in the downtown area, in the Findlay area, that are participating. And you can actually go. I know Mancy's and Deitch Brothers and Coffee Meets You are out there, too. So you can go out and have dinner before the show. There so and
right.
do a little shopping
as
well to make it a complete night out on the town, a complete weekend out on the town. And it is just a terrific celebration with a great cause. And once again, MCPA Education Director Craig Van Rindergum is with us, and Findlay High School Theater Director Andy Cantrell. Thank you both for taking the time, and certainly best of luck on the shows this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Findlay Mayor Christina Mern joins us on the line this morning. More accolades, more honors, most recently being named to the Steering Committee for the Community Leaders of America. And before we get to that and talk about all of the things that we want to talk about with respect to those accolades, those honors, I got to ask you how exciting it is to be able to make it official that it is Target that is coming to the mall space. I know this has been the target, no pun intended, of much speculation over the past several months, but now you can make it official.
Yes, it's really good to be able to make it official. It was a tough secret to keep, and I know a lot of people kind of did some sleuthing and figured it out, but obviously when you're working through a development project like that, you want to be respectful of the developer and the potential tenant. So we're super excited to be able to work with them, and hopefully in the next coming months they'll be breaking ground, and we'll see a Target in the next year and a half. Which is really exciting.
And I know that this is widely seen as what everyone hopes will be a catalyst for the redevelopment of that space. You see this as, I mean, there are more benefits than just, you know, having a Target.
Definitely. You know, obviously, malls have really transitioned in what those spaces are used for, and we do expect a number of existing stores to stay located in the back portion of the property,
mm-hmm.
and some businesses potentially after construction to move back into that area. But I think what we've really seen is last year we approved a new strip mall out on the old Lowe's property there behind Olive Garden. We're seeing the development of the Ashley, that kind of old Ashley Furniture strip mall mm-hmm. area. So I think we're really just starting to see growth in our retail demand. And one of the things that, you know, I always explain from folks having previously been in business development, success breeds success. And so when retailers start to see other businesses that they can kind of co-locate around, that helps us be able to attract additional retail. So hopefully we'll continue to see it grow, but it's really exciting just to see some new life breathed into that property.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about this latest honor. Again, it was reported just a few days ago. You have been named to the steering committee for the Community Leaders of America. First of all, talk a little bit about what the Community Leaders of America is.
Yeah, so Community Leaders of America is an organization similar to like the Republican Governors Association or different Republican Attorney General's Association. This group focuses on mayors that are Republicans, as well as large city council members, some county commissioners. And we really get together a couple of times a year and hear from different businesses that may be interested in, you know, providing services to the cities, also some policy discussion, but really focused on kind of more conservative principles in community leadership and development.
Is that really kind of the main difference than, say, the Conference of Mayors, which you've been involved in for a number of years?
Yeah, the Conference of Mayors is definitely a lot more policy-focused.
Okay.
And a lot more widely recognized by Congress and entities. They are definitely the premier organization. Community Leaders of America is much smaller. And again, it's more focused kind of on bringing businesses in to talk to us about services and efficiencies within the community, networking and different things like that. So it's been very beneficial over the years, but the U.S. Conference of Mayors definitely is kind of that premier organization.
So with respect to the Community Leaders of America, it kind of ties in with what we were talking about with the arrival of Target here locally. And as a member of the steering committee, what responsibilities does that carry with it?
Yeah, so we will meet monthly, virtually, typically, to discuss kind of the organization, potential partnerships. Last December, I joined a couple of my colleagues in visiting D.C. and meeting with some potential business partners, and then really just looking at how do we continue to advocate for local communities, again, around those kind of Republican principles. So it's a much smaller group and a little more low-key, but also really beneficial. And, you know, Target is a great example. Economic development really led the charge. But I will take a little bit of credit, and I think that my incessant conversations with the Target representatives at U.S. Conference of Mayors meetings finally gave us a little bit better of a look, because every time I would meet with them, I'd say, hey, you really need to talk to Finley, like, please, and I'd send them information, and when Target finally started looking and talking to the mall developer, I got a call from the lady that I had met over the years, and she said, hey, I hear we're finally talking to Finley, so they definitely have lots of levels of, you know, networking and benefit that these organizations provide. And certainly, you know, I'm honored to be able to serve in a leadership capacity with the U.S. Conference of Mayors and the Community Leaders of America, to be able to advocate for our community, but communities like ours across the country.
And in addition to all of that, well, you mentioned the Conference of Mayors, the CLA, we are actually speaking to you. You are on your way headed to the Yale Mayors College and CEO Summit. So here's another organization. Tell us a little bit about this, what that is all about.
Yes, I'm sure you can tell because I'm on the Michigan road, so it is not at all quiet in my car. But the Yale Mayors College and CEO Summit is this afternoon. It will be about 30 mayors from across the country that will have just discussion time on key topics facing our country. And really, it's almost like an MBA course. It's led by the executive leadership manager for Yale, Jeffrey Sonnefeld. And I've participated, and this afternoon we'll have kind of just discussions, and then we'll have a dinner this evening. And then tomorrow, I always really enjoy this, it's the CEO Summit, and the mayors get to sit in on it and participate. But it is typically 50, 75 mayors, or CEOs from across the country, from top companies, so Citibank, JP Morgan, Siemens, like there's a list, and then there's a lot of federal officials from the White House, both past and present.
Okay.
And again, talking about kind of just current issues. In the past, we've talked about, you know, some of the dip. We've had Jared Kushner come in and talk about, you know, when President Trump was in office, talking about the COVID, and as well as talking about in the past we had General Powell come in and talk to us. So it really is just a very interesting time talking about world events and, again, how federal government policy impacts our local communities, what communities can do to be successful with presidential transitions, all the world events, the economy. I am a total nerd, so I really enjoy these conversations and hearing, you know, about economic policy. So it should be interesting.
So let me ask you this, because I can hear some folks asking this question. I'm sure you've been asked it before. With all of these things that you have going on, all of these irons in the fire between all of these organizations that you were involved in, when do you find time to run the city? Does this take away from the responsibilities that you have first and foremost as mayor of the city of Findlay?
Definitely not. So, you know, as mayor, one, I am a person who thrives with a busy schedule and being focused on doing a lot of things. Second, you know, running the city of Findlay is a position that I'm able to do really from anywhere. You know, where the pros and cons of connectivity, one of the pros is definitely being able to stay on top of things and communicate with the team. And then third is, you know what, I've filled out a really strong team of people that can run the city on a daily basis. And, you know, a sign of a good leader, in my opinion, is having a team of people that can take care of things when their leader isn't there. And so I definitely stay engaged and keep things moving forward. I think the thing people may ever notice is that sometimes my email response time slows down a little bit. But the next couple of months in my world are very busy, but I think that that's a really great thing, and it thrives, and it gives the city of Findlay a seat at the table. I have some other upcoming things that I'll be sharing with the community. And then one thing that I want to mention is that both with Community Leaders of America and the Yale Mayor Summit, both of those organizations actually pay for my travel and accommodations, and anything that isn't covered, I pay for personally. So it definitely is also not a cost to the city.
Again, Findlay Mayor Christina Mern with us this morning, recently named to the steering committee for the Community Leaders of America. And as we mentioned, off to the Yale Mayor's College and CEO Summit even as we speak. Mayor Mern, thanks very much for taking the time once again. And thank you. I appreciate the dig on the Michigan roads, too. So that was kind of nice to squeeze that in. Thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chris. Have a wonderful week.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So, again, this is another one of those don't have to go very far sometimes to find the broken news. Officials at the University of Dayton had to break up a chaotic St. Patrick's Day celebration on and around campus over the weekend. Cops started trying to disperse the crowd around 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon after officials had received roughly 20 calls related to the early holiday gathering. 20 calls! So the cops came in and they tried to start dispersing the crowd. After revelers ignored commands to leave, officers had to use tear gas to force the group to scatter. In all, 5 people were arrested by about 6 p.m. Again, they got the call around 3. Took 3 hours to get this under control. 5 people under arrest by about 6 o'clock p.m. and it all calmed down. But it wasn't over. Just after 9 p.m., cops were called out again on reports of an unruly crowd, this time with shots fired. No one was struck by gunfire, thank goodness. But authorities did say an officer was hurt while making an arrest in the second incident. So 2 incidents of unruly revelers in an early chaotic St. Patrick's Day celebration. Leaders at the University of Dayton say they plan to review the incidents with the help of law enforcement. Maybe the first thing you might want to do is let people know that it ain't St. Patrick's Day yet. It's not for another week. What are they doing? Are they going to party like all week long? Was that the plan? It's crazy. Crazy. I saw pictures of it. It's just a complete mess on and around the campus at UD over the weekend. Elsewhere in the broken news, this is our dumb criminal of the day. This from New York City, where, again, and how many times we had this story in the news or something similar, if you're going to steal a car, it's probably a good idea to make sure you know how to drive it. This is according to a New York news report. Someone tried to steal a 2023 Bentley at gunpoint on a New York City street, but was thwarted because the thief was unable to drive away because they weren't able to figure out its fancy controls. Now, a lot of times, this happens when the thief discovers it's a stick shift and they don't know how to drive a manual transmission. That wasn't the case this time around. It was just so fancy they couldn't figure out how to make it work. NYPD Police Chief John Mastronardi tells NBC New York they couldn't move the vehicle because they didn't know how to place the vehicle in drive. So it wasn't a manual transmission. They couldn't even figure out the automatic transmission. Bentleys are very fancy. Apparently, a second Bentley bandit came over to try to help their thieving buddy, but even between the two of them, they couldn't get the car to move. Eventually, the bandits fled the scene without the new Bentley, whereupon they successfully stole a 2024 Mercedes-Benz. Anyone with info on the Bentley bandits is asked to call police. Alrighty. Elsewhere in the broken news, a hairstylist in Maryland is in hot water, accused of dragging a 15-year-old client across the salon after she almost walked out without paying. Jayla Cunningham claims that she was done working on her client's hair when a dispute broke out regarding payment. The customer said that she sent the payment via Cash App, but it had not been received, according to Ms. Cunningham. As the 15-year-old tried to leave, she grabbed her by her hoodie, pulled her into a room next to a storage closet, and told her to stay there until someone paid. The teenager's mom claims her child sent the money to the wrong account by mistake, and now criminal charges have been filed against Ms. Cunningham. And no tip. Yeah. Didn't get a tip on that one. Didn't get a tip on that bill. And a couple of other items here in the broken news this morning. Have you ever, you've heard that saying, no good deed goes unpunished, right? Here is a case in point. Have you ever returned something to someone who lost it and they weren't appreciative? In this case, a good Samaritan went online to vent about a wallet that he or she, I don't know whether it's a male or female is ranting about this, is that it found a wallet and tracked the owner down. It got the driver's license and everything in there so you can track down the owner of the wallet. And thought it would do, you know, the right thing by returning it to its owner with all the content still inside, but was still accused of stealing. The owner of the wallet yelled at the Good Samaritan and insisted that there was more money inside the wallet and accused the person who returned the wallet of stealing it. Wow. I mean, you think of it, all of the, there might have been more money in the wallet, but who's to say it wasn't somebody else who found the wallet, took the money, and then just left the wallet. Along comes the Good Samaritan And yeah, but the owner of the wallet accused the Good Samaritan of stealing the cash. One person theorized, I said it just felt like a slap in the face. One person theorized that the owner of the wallet just didn't want to pay a reward. That was the way of, you know, getting out of the reward, accusing the Good Samaritan of stealing. That's terrible. I mean, really doesn't make you want to do the right thing the next time, right? I mean, doesn't really encourage you to step in and do the right thing if you're going to get accused of stealing anyway. And lastly, here in the broken news, kind of a cute story out of Georgia, where jail officials have apprehended a jailbreaking duck. Accused of the fowl, accused of trespassing at the Polk County Jail. Bernice the duck was described by police as a white female suspect who was trying to go over the perimeter fence in an attempt to escape capture. Deputies cornered the suspect and found that she had an injured foot, and so she was taken into custody, treated, and transported to her new home at Derek Tilley's Animal Sanctuary and Farm, so nearby Polk County. Jailbreaking duck there in Georgia. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report and update. The odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Ever thought about joining the Findlay Rotary Club?
I'm Scott Holman, president of Resolute Wealth Advisor, and I'm proud to be a Findlay Rotarian where collectively we rely on the strengths of each member to impact our club's vision of uniting local leaders to influence positive change.
Our ability to influence positive change locally and around the world grows through membership. To learn more about how you could join the Findlay Rotary Club, go to findlayrotary.org and click on Join.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. New Talker Research Survey of 2,000 parents find that mom and dad, we spend an average of 67 hours a year bargaining with our kids. Trying to get them to do things that they don't want to do. 67 hours a year bargaining with our kids. The poll showed that pushback often takes place at dinner time, with five-year-olds being the age of peak pickiness when it comes to mealtime. Five-year-olds. And then you have the teenagers who sometimes act like five-year-olds. 37% of the parents in the survey say that their child complains about eating their vegetables. 33% say their kids dislike the smell of the food. That's their argument. And 32% of parents have heard kids say they don't like how their food looks. So it's the look, it's the smell, and it's not the taste of it. Common foods that kids never turn down include pizza, chicken nuggets, fries, macaroni and cheese, and hamburgers. Those are the top five. You can't go wrong with, but you can't just feed them those things. So some tactics that parents say have worked for them, this may be helpful to you. 28% say teaching children about the benefits of nutrition can help. 26% say creating a positive, pressure-free mealtime environment will ease those arguments. 26% say modeling positive behaviors by trying new ingredients for the first time yourself with your kids will get the job done. 25% say repeated exposure. You just grind them down, keep offering it over and over again until they capitulate. 19% will offer rewards or incentives for cleaning the plate. And 19% say preparing food in fun shapes and colorful arrangements is the secret. Interestingly enough, as kind of a postscript on the survey here, a little over 1 in 4 participants, 26%, say that they were, and again, this is a poll of parents, so 26%, 1 in 4 parents say that they were a picky eater as a kid and that they are still a picky eater as an adult. I have to admit that I fall into that category. Okay, so right about now, if you started 2025 committed to a fitness and nutrition plan, a wellness plan, at this point, you may have plateaued, or you may feel as though you have plateaued. If you want to get over that hump, the answer may lie in a more personalized approach. And that is what our next guest is going to talk to us about this morning. She is Dr. Laura Kuntzes, Vice President of Medical Strategy at Thorne. Now, a lot of people do, obviously, Dr. Kuntzes, commit to those fitness routines, those wellness routines in the new year, but then they can't end up sticking to it long term. What is the big stumbling block? What's that? Why do we reach a wall?
Well, everybody has their own reasons, but I would say that the best advice I can give people is that this is the time to rethink what your plan was. Most people need to start simple and be very specific. So if it is that you want to go to the gym 3 times a week, write that down. Write down what days you're going to go, what times of the day you're going to go, and hold yourself accountable. Find a buddy, ask a coach to train you, maybe go to a workout studio where there's group fitness classes and you can see friends while you're there. These type of communications and relationships that you build will hold you accountable to making sure that you stay on track. And the last tip I can give people is make sure you celebrate your milestones as you've achieved them. If you want to go to 100 visits, make sure that after 100 visits, you reward yourself. Buy yourself a new pair of sneakers or look to get a new set of gym clothes. That those little incentives will keep you going and keep you motivated.
Now, with respect to nutrition, I know you work with a lot of athletes as a registered dietitian. What advice do you give those professionals that you work with that maybe we can incorporate into our own routines?
Yeah, believe it or not, professional athletes don't have it nailed down either in nutrition. So
That's actually a little good to know. You know what I mean? That makes me feel a little bit better.
It's comforting. It is. They aren't perfect. And so they seek the advice from dietitians as well. And they're constantly reading blogs and following podcasts and trying to really tune in their health as well. So that's the best advice I can give you is to start to own your own health. Do as much reading as you can, educating yourself, and with that, testing yourself. Do some blood work. Look to a microbiome test if you're interested in your gut and how that's affecting your brain and your health and your nutrition as well. So, there's always something you can improve on, and now's the time to look to that because it's going to get harder as you get older and more challenging to do so. So nip it in the bud when you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And the further you go and the higher your goals you set, I would imagine it also gets to be that much more challenging. And as we mentioned, this is kind of where that personalized approach comes in. And again, you use this with the athletes that you work with.
Definitely. There's a lot of foundational nutritional components that all of us need to be aware of, right? Like we need to have protein every single day. We need to have fiber in our diet. Well, how much? What type? Where should this come from? What time should you have these? Should you be taking these with things or without things? So it's these types of questions that should be personalized to you. You shouldn't be following maybe what your spouse is doing or your teammate or, what you're seeing online. It should be done for your body and a plan that works for you.
I would imagine that's something that you hear all the time. Hey, a friend of mine went on this regimen. It really worked well for him or her, but for some reason it's not working for me. And that it goes back to that individualized, that necessity to be individualized rather than a one size fits all.
Exactly. All the time I get the question, what should I be doing? And I say, well, that's a loaded question. Let's start from the beginning and really take a deep dive.
Now, as we mentioned, you are Vice President of Medical Strategy at Thorne. What products do you have to help support folks in all of these routines?
Yeah, so Thorne's a leader in the science-backed health and wellness solutions and started as a dietary supplement company about 41 years ago. So we have a large option, a large retail options for products that range from everything like everyday products like fish oils, vitamin D, all the way to products that are more specific to health concerns like liver health or kidney health or eye health. So they go across the gamut. And then for athletes too, we do have products that support pre, during, and post exercise. So whether, you know, you need to focus on your hydration or you need to focus on protein post-exercise, there's something for everybody.
Again, we say that with the advice that you should not be taking it upon yourself necessarily to figure all of this out. Talk with a professional and find out what those needs and, you know, the best fit for you would be.
Exactly. There's also a great resource on thorne.com. That's thorne.com. That's called Take 5 Daily. It's a research-backed blog that's written by the scientists and healthcare professionals at Thorne. So it goes into full detail about different health concerns and products and ingredients and why you should care. So it's a great resource to help you learn about maybe things that might be going on with you.
So again, if you're looking to take that fitness and wellness routine to the next level now, or if you are looking to get over that hump that you seem to have reached from your beginning of the year goals, this can help you maybe do that and kind of go beyond. Dr. Laura Kuntzis is Vice President of Medical Strategy at Thorne. Mention again the website where folks can get more information.
Yes, that's Thorne, thorne.com.
Real easy to remember, but we'll have it linked up at our webpage too, so make it even easier that way. Dr. Kuntzis, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, the Little People of America will hold their spring regional event in Findlay this weekend. We'll explain what that's all about. Till tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.